letter to the church. And if you turn with me to James, and pick up where we left off this morning, and pick up at chapter 3. James chapter 3, and let's begin reading at verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that we may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven with fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor twisteth. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, or this afternoon rather, Lord, we pray that you just be with us. Lord, James challenges us with many things. And Lord, as he's talking in your word and under the inspiration of your spirit, Lord, he's convicting us of how we are to live as your people. And Lord, I pray that you just be with us as we look at your word and how we are to guard our tongues and how dangerous it can be. Lord, speak to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been looking at James, and he's been talking this morning. We looked at the fact that we are to be evident in our life by the way we live, our conversation, if you would, the way we live, things we do, that we're Christians. And Jesus himself said that they should know us by our fruit, and we should be bearing fruit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit working in our life. And if we are a believer, the work should be evident of God's Spirit in our life. He now comes to an area that is oftentimes difficult to control, and that is the tongue. It's interesting, he starts out by in verse 1 saying, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." Now, by masters, he means leaders, elders, pastors, teachers, those who have responsibility or authority. To stand and preach God's word and to teach God's word is a great responsibility. I'm accountable for everything I say, and sometimes I say I misspeak, and that is not good, especially when we're on tape, and sometimes I may make an error and say something not quite right, and that's not good because others are listening. But not only that, the accountability that I have because of the position that God has placed me in to teach is a greater one than you who are just sitting out there listening right now, when you would share. Although we all have responsibility, as we're going to see in just a moment, as God's people, to walk in a manner which would be honoring to Him. Having said that, the responsibility that is given to us with the words that we say, let's just go on in verse 2. For many things we offend all. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, with our mouths we can offend many people. The example is given of a woman in a church who was constantly using her tongue to tell tales on others. And it was creating quite a problem in the fellowship, in that she was saying things that weren't necessarily true. And then when she would be confronted by it, she'd say, "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't really mean that." And try to excuse herself for the things she'd said. Well, one day the pastor called her into his office, and they had a church building that had a flat roof, and there was access to the roof. And he said, I'd like to have you come with me. And he said, I've got this box that I've prepared, and I want you to come up with me on the roof. And so they went up on the roof, and he took this box, and he gave it to her up on the roof, and he said, "Okay, I want you to open the box." And in the box were a whole bunch of little pieces of paper that had been cut into 3-inch by 1-inch strips. And he said, "I would like you now to take that box," and it was a rather windy day, "and just throw the box up in the air." And she said, "Really? You want me to?" Yeah, I said, "I want you to do that." And she threw the box up in the air, and the little strips of paper got caught in the wind, and they went everywhere. They were on the roof, they were down, they blew down the street, they were all over the place. Then the pastor turned to her and he said, "I would like you to go and retrieve all those pieces of paper for me." She said, "Well, that's impossible. They're just little pieces of paper and they're gone everywhere. I don't even know where some of them have gone." He said, "Well, that happens when we say things with our tongue and we tell things to others and they go and they spread and we can't get them back. We can't stop it. Once it's done, it's done." It was a sobering lesson for this lady to learn. But it's a lesson that we all have had happen to us, where we have said something. And one of my favorite things is people will say something to you that they really kind of mean, and then they couch what they've said with, "Oh, just kidding, just kidding." But it may be something that's very harmful and hurts you. And then they try to make light of it as a joke. God says it's serious what we say with our tongues. We are one of the few of all of God's creation, angels and men, that can communicate. We have been created in the image of God. We've been given minds. We've been given a moral character. We've been given the ability to communicate and intelligence. And just as someone who is placed in a position of teaching has great responsibility, we all have responsibility with what we say and what we do. I was just thinking, as I was mentioned this morning, I'm watching the videos from the Berean Call conference this last week and seeing some of the things that were being said and the influence that it was having on literally 40,000 young people plus all those who would see the videos. And some of the things that were being said were not correct. Some of the things were doctrinally not correct. True. And it was even interesting to look at, do I believe that God can heal? Yes, God can heal. But they stood up there and a man got up and said that God was going to heal everybody there of certain things and certain maladies and certain diseases, and he knew it was happening right then, and would people just raise their hand if they were being healed at that moment? Well, he wasn't getting any hands raised, and so he said, he's looking out there because it's bright lights in his eyes, and he's looking, he said, well, stand up, raise both hands if you're being healed right now. And he's looking, and then he's going, well, jump up and down if you're being healed right now. And finally he turns around and walks back and gives the mic to another speaker. Can God heal? Yes. But does God heal on my command? No. And this man was offering false doctrine to these kids. But I've seen others who've been influenced by that type of teaching to the point they think that something is wrong with them or wrong with those that they love because healing isn't coming. But God never promises that we're going to be healed. He can heal. He does heal. But for us to say that someone isn't spiritual because they're not being healed or they really don't understand the Lord or their walk with the Lord is wrong, that's using the tongue in a destructive manner. And James says it's so easy to do. I grew up on a farm and we had horses. I got a picture of me on a horse when I was 2 years, or not even 2 years old. I wasn't even walking yet. My folks put me up on this big horse and took the picture, and they said I fell off as soon as the picture was snapped. But I do have a picture of me sitting on a horse by myself before I walked. And so I grew up with horses, and horses would respond to the bridle, and you had to put a bit in their mouth. And there's different types of bits depending on the horse. Some horses were stubborn, and you put a bit in their mouth, and it was a bit that would move, and so it would kind of pinch their tongue when you pulled on it. And get them to respond quicker. Others would have a straight bit in their mouth because they had were more responsive. And then once you trained a horse, you didn't even have to put a bit in its mouth. And I remember we had a horse like that, and it was fun to ride because all you'd have to do is tap it with your knee and it would turn and give it a command and it would do it. But it had been hours and hours of training with a bit to get to that point. And James gives us the example. He says, you know, we know how to train horses. We put bits in their mouth. And we put bits in their mouth to control the horse. And then he goes on and he says an interesting thing, which you can see. You can go to many zoos and you go to other places, circuses and various things, and you'll see all kinds of wild animals that they've trained to do tricks. You can see elephants that are giant, and they'll go and they'll stand on each other's backs, and they'll lift their people up. They'll do all kinds of tricks. You see tigers and lions, ferocious animals, that they've been trained to do tricks, to jump through hoops and to stand on pedestals. And you see dogs that are trained to retrieve balls and roll over and play dead and all kinds of things. And we know how to do all of that. But the thing that we cannot do is oftentimes train our tongue. And James is saying, as Christians, we're to be guarding our tongues. Now, I would love to be able to tell you, you know, I've never had a problem where I've said something that's hurt someone, or I've never said something that's wrong. But I think that we all have. And what he's telling us is we need to understand the impact of when we do this. He says, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. You know, of muscles in the body, the tongue is one of the smaller muscles, and yet it can cause us great sorrow or great joy with how we use it and how we speak with our tongues. How great a matter a little fire kindleth. Sometimes we can say something that we think really doesn't matter, is of no great significance, and it can create a great problem. There's a game that used to be played. I'm sure that many of you probably played it. You get in a circle, and someone begins a sentence, and they write the sentence down before they tell the first person. And so their sentence is written down, and then they tell the person next to them, and they whisper it in their ear, and it goes around the whole circle until it gets to the last person. And then the last person writes down what he's heard. And then they compare the two sentences. 99% of the time, it's not the same thing. Because what happens? Things change. The tongue doesn't recite exactly what the ear has heard. And the next person recites something a little different. And pretty soon, it can be a totally different thing. When we do that with our tongues, in spreading gossip or rumors or speaking of others or things, we can cause great damage. And that's what he's talking about, a little member can cause a great fire. Some of the fires that we had in California this last year, they didn't start out big. They started out real little. As a matter of fact, a couple of them were started by, I believe, a campfire and some sparks from a campfire, and yet it ended up in burning literally hundreds, if not thousands, of acres of trees. And the same thing can happen with our tongue. If we don't guard it and we speak that which isn't true or that which is harmful, it can be a great fire. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. We can speak evil. We can blaspheme with the tongue. All kinds of wickedness can be used by the tongue. That it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. It's interesting. Words which are used and spoken with the tongue, if you look at things that have been done today in the public school system, just to give you an example, the public school system today has been greatly influenced by a man by the name of John Dewey. John Dewey had a belief system. He articulated this belief system. He taught this belief system. And part of it was that he wanted humanism to replace godly values in the public schools. He, along with others like him, did this. How did it get replaced? It was done by articulating those values and transferring them to other people, which caused the direction that the public school system in America has gone from one that used to be based on godly principle. For example, some of the primers that were first primers, reading primers, were like A is for Adam, the first man. And they would have things like that in the primer based upon the Bible. They would have science that was based upon the Bible. And today, you don't. Today, it's based upon secular humanism. A lot of that was done in the sharing of ideas with the tongue and speaking those ideas so that others would hear them, and really causing a giant fire to destroy the principles of God's Word in the public school system, and really set on the fire of hell, as those principles come not from heaven but from hell. For every kind of beasts and birds and serpents and things of the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. And it's interesting then, what hope is there? I think that you've all said, would admit that there's been times the tongue has done things that lied or said things that were hurtful or said things that would literally set on the fires of hell. So then what hope is there? Well, part of it is we have to allow the Spirit of God to control our tongue. Just as He controls our body, just as He controls our mind, He needs to control our tongue. Our words, the things we say, need to be brought under His control. It's not good enough to say, well, I have this problem and that's the way God made me and you're just going to have to put up with it. because that's the way I am. No. If you're a Christian, then you need to be asking God, give me the wisdom, give me the power, give me the strength to refrain from using my tongue in an ungodly fashion. I think it's interesting that James, if you turn back to chapter 1, remember he said, wherefore my brother, in verse 19, wherefore my beloved brethren, to every man be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. Slow to speak is an excellent word of counsel given, because oftentimes it's easy for me to engage my mouth before my brain is put into beginning to function. In other words, I say something before I think. And I don't know if you've ever done that, but when you do, what you've done is you put your tongue in motion, and your tongue is controlling the situation, and not even your mind, or definitely not the Spirit of God. And he says here, for every, but the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. And you've heard this, the saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never kill me or hurt me. That's not necessarily true. You can devastate people with your words. As a matter of fact, Francis Schaeffer, in some of his last books, said that the way that Satan would come against the church and come against that which was godly was through words and name calling. Today,